You miss one. Oh, I'm on.
Yeah.
You miss one Sunday, and I forget what the order of service is. I barely remembered the address to get here. But it's good to see everyone, and I appreciate being able to be off last week. You wouldn't have wanted me here. I was whiny and cranky and hurting way too much. My scoliosis jumped up on me Saturday on the way back from Austin to leave Mary Louise with our grandson for a week. So, but I am better today. It's good to see you. And I did want to, how many have read the newsletter and got the letter from Joe and our sisters and brothers at the Woodlands? It just worked out for them, and I sure understand, because if we had not been able to be in our own digs when we got all messed up, we would have felt completely disjointed. And I think that's the way they felt. So they wanted to be back home, however inconvenient that is. So, but we were glad to be able to be here for them when they needed us. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice,
we will rejoice,
and be glad in it,
and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
This is the day,
this is the day
that the Lord has made. Oh, good morning, church. And what y'all didn't do Happy Great Day last week, did you?
No.
So we are going to do Happy Great Day. You want to do that now?
Sure.
I think so. And you will figure out I have an ulterior motive. I will start it off. Yesterday was our 28th anniversary. I married a saint. Can you imagine how much work it is just to keep a sanity around me all the time? Yeah, well, she is a saint. Okay, so we birthdays and anniversaries. Caroline's birthday. Birthdays, anniversaries in March. Birthday. Philip's birthday. Wanda's birthday. Jan has a birthday. I'm not going to tell you which one. That wouldn't be right. But it ends in a zero.
30. She's 30.
She's 30 today. Yes. Oh my goodness.
8 years old.
8 years old, Adrian's birthday this month. Anyone else? Well, let's stand and sing. As we have a song of praise and begin our worship together.
Thank you.
morning. Please join me in the call to worship and the prayer of invocation. Give thanks to the Lord, for God is good.
God's steadfast love endures forever.
When we cry out to the Lord in times of trouble,
the Lord saves us from distress.
Let us thank the Lord for the wonderful works done on our behalf.
Let us worship today, tell of God's gracious deeds with songs of praise.
Grant, Holy One, that speaking we may speak your word, that singing we may sing your praise, that hearing we may hear your truth, and that willing we may make your will our own. So that going out at the end of our worship, we may walk in your love and in your peace, and departing from one another, not depart from you. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
As we have a time of sharing this morning, I want us to think just a little bit about how we are going to make our way through this COVID and come out the other side. If I want you to remember back a little over a year ago, before we were even aware of the name COVID. Remember, we had in the fall previously a planning session, and we had talked about all sorts of things that we wanted to be able to begin. We had started the year with starting to put some groups together and making plans to come back together, and that was about in the end of February. And I think it was that next week or the week after that this happened, and we have basically, like all other congregations, literally all over the world, been able to just be together at the bare minimum. No fellowship dinners, no Sunday schools, groups, all of that stuff has had to go by the wayside this past year. You know, my hope is, and I think it will be, that by the summer, if we keep behaving ourselves and the vaccine rollout keeps going as it is, that we will be able to start thinking about how we want our programming to begin anew in a bigger, better way. So give me a couple of thoughts about how you think we go about that, or if you think that timetable is reasonable, and how we should look at church moving forward. Any thoughts?
I would love to have choir and hymnal part back.
Yes.
Yes, get music ministry back. Amy.
Yeah. That our congregation's been vaccinated. That'll allow some freedom.
I think so, and I don't know how, but, you know, we'll, I guess, at some point want to find that out. But a lot, I know in talking to a lot of you have gotten both shots. Most of you have gotten at least one shot. So, you know, I think that's going to be back on track. The one ministry, would everyone who is involved in our food ministry at some level, raise your hand. Look at that. Our food ministry is just going gangbusters. I think we set a record last Wednesday on number of cars. It was 150 some odd cars, which represents
probably twice that many families, because each car generally has more than one family. So that is one ministry that we are. We are so glad that we have been able. It's heartbreaking to see that many people, that many more people in need of food assistance, but it is so gratifying that y'all have really stepped up to the plate. But I want you to be thinking about not what's going to happen next week, but what's going to happen in a couple of 3 months, and be thinking about that. Sarah. Yes. And that's, we had them at the lunch, too.
Not this year, but the year before.
That's what, yeah, the year before that. So we need to really be involved with that. I know that.
In contact with another church that's interested in starting a food pantry.
Yes. Yeah, to kind of bring you up, we are working with Pilgrim Rest Baptist Church in downtown Conroe. And they have begun their food pantry, and Bobby and Monica and our crew have been assisting them, and they are going great. I was there 2 weeks ago on a Tuesday, and they are really busy. But I'm hoping that we will be able to be involved with them in all sorts of ministries, and also to get with the Homeless Coalition, which I represent y'all on the Homeless Coalition for the new village that's being started.
You're talking about the development of Miracle City?
Yes.
Okay. That's at the end of the street where I live.
Okay. Yeah.
That's why I was just looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. That.
Yeah, it is that. Okay. It is that. I don't care, Michael. It's called Miracle City, is this particular ministry they're doing. And it's, if you go out First Street, it's kind of at the end of that. There's several acres that they were able to get. I think controlled by the city or the county, and are going to build. At one point, there was talk of building tiny homes and then dormitory style. So I don't know where they are right now, but we want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Okay. So now let's prepare for a time of prayer together. Let's share the concerns that we have. Caroline, you've been in our prayers. It is so good to see you up and mobile and here.
Thank you very much.
Marilyn.
My friend Nan McShann.
Nan McShann. Keep Nan in your prayers.
Tom.
Just not feeling good.
Our grandson, Alex.
Yes, Alex is now in Afghanistan, and we, of course, won't hear from him now that he's in Afghanistan. But keep Alex and all of our women and men in uniform deployed at this time in your prayer. Sandy.
Jordan. Some progress. He's got his
good.
Team, and he's feeling a little better. So thank
good.
You.
Good.
Let's give thanks for the availability.
Thanks for the... Yes, all... We give thanks for the availability of vaccines and them being developed in world record time. Amy.
I have two neighbors, one younger than I am, went for surgery for remediation of cancer, found out that showing they can't do the surgery, and showing has 2 weeks to
live. Oh, I'm so sorry.
And then I have another friend, and she is looking at a month or so of terminal cancer. So keep this in prayer. That's Patty and Kathy.
Yeah. And keep friends of our congregation, John and Tanya, in the prayers. Their nephew is on life support right now, and his prognosis is not good.
Sam.
And keep Sam. Sam is doing better. Sam and Monica. Sam is doing much better. But keep Sam in your prayers. May the Lord be with you. Let's go to God in silence and in prayer.
Gracious God, we come before your throne of grace this day, thankful for this day that you have given us. Allow us the blessing of knowing where we can be most useful in being a friend to others, in helping in your name, in causing our world to be a slightly better place because we are in it. We are thankful for the helpers in our lives, all of those in uniform, women and men in service, all of those who are health specialists, who drive the ambulances, the nurses, the ones who take care of the hospital, the doctors, all of those whose job it is to guard our health and to help bring us back to health when we are ill. We pray, O God, for those who are lonely and displaced this day. Give us a heart of conscience that we will seek those folks out of whom we are aware and bring them a cup of cold water, a friendly word, a meal, a blessing in your name. O Lord, we are grateful for the task you have set upon us. We are grateful for this holy season when we seek to come closer to you in our daily lives. Bless us as we leave this place today and cause us to be re-energized to do your will and work in our community for Christ's sake who taught us, our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Is a series of giving and receiving gifts. Our worship is that time that we come together and we bring our gifts, and I encourage you to do that either online, which is what we've started doing, and it's incredibly easy to do. Or there are baskets in the narthex for you to put your tithe and offering in. So I encourage you to bring your gift to God And I encourage you to accept the gifts of God. This table represents those gifts. It's particularly meaningful in this holy season because this is the table that the Passover was celebrated on, and later this is the table of remembrance of Christ and His followers. On the night that He was betrayed, Jesus took the Passover with those whom He loved so dearly. After the meal, He took the loaf once again. He broke it. He blessed it. He passed it among them, telling them to eat, that this was His body broken for them. In that same way, after the meal, He took the cup, Elijah's cup of community and welcome. After blessing it, He passed it among them, telling them to drink all of it. This was the cup of a new covenant. We come after those first disciples celebrating His words, "This do in remembrance of me." O God, we ask that this loaf and this cup be the meal that satisfies and guides us to Your service for Christ's sake. Amen.
Gilead to heal. Thank you, Amy. Beautiful as usual. Our scripture today is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter, verses 14 through 21. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God.
Been put back together way too many times to remember. What is this book to you? The Word of God. Is it a history book? It's an instruction manual. Is it a history book of the world? There was a fellow named Bishop Usher in the Church of England in the 16th century, and he believed that he could go back and through the book of Genesis peg the date of creation. He did that. It was October 29th. He thought it was in the afternoon of 4004 B.C. And that remained the official date, if you will, of the beginning of creation. Do we look at it that way now? It's not a scientific book. It wasn't written by people of science. It really wasn't even written by classical historians like a Cicero or another historian. I like a book of instructions, a how-to book. I believe that cover to cover, it's a love story. It is about the love affair between God and God's creation. In the book of Genesis, God made everything, and on that day he looked out over everything that God had made and said, "This is good." Yes, this is good. God loved creation too much to destroy it, even within the flood story of Noah, didn't God? God loved Moses and the cantankerous children of Israel too much to destroy them. In spite of everything that he did wrong, David's capacity to love, as illustrated in the first hymnal. You know what that hymnal is, right? If you turn to the middle of your Bible, you will find the first hymnal. The Psalms of David are the most beautiful love stories and Psalms that you will ever find. You see, his capacity, David's capacity to love, made him a man whom God loved. The prophets from Elijah on spoke of a future time when God's love would be the law of the land. God's love would be enshrined in the legal works of the land. And that law said that swords would be beat into plowshares. That a lamb could take a nap with a lion and wake up. When God's love would be written on every human heart. That was the great getting up morning that is alluded to all through Scripture. Scripture reminds us that love indeed makes the world go round. Now back to our scripture. What's this about Moses lifting up a serpent? Do you remember that story? It's a very strange story. The children of Israel, after they were rescued from Egypt, their disbelief got them in trouble. And they were tired of roaming around in the desert. They were tired of eating manna from heaven. They wanted roast beef and potatoes. They were cranky and they were whiny. What did they keep asking Moses? Wait for it. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Again and again and again until it just irritated God beyond the telling of it. So he sent some scorpions to get rid of them. But God repented of destroying these wayward children, as cranky as they could be. And so he told Moses to craft a serpent and lift it up, and everyone would be healed in that manner. Their disbelief in God's love got them in trouble. God lifted up a serpent to save them. As God would later, as it's alluded to in this same scripture, lift up a Savior, His own Son, to save them and us. And this, then the most familiar passage in all of Scripture. For God so loved the that He gave His, that whoever would not, but have. Question, is saving faith, and I think we can agree that's what is being talked about here. Say, is saving faith more about believing the correct facts about Jesus, or more about attempting to walk with Jesus? What do you think? That is so true, isn't it? That's one of those things that is self-evident. And yet, why has the church throughout the centuries spent the greater part of its effort on verifying, attesting to, witnessing to, disputing the facts rather than simply walking with Jesus? Over the century, the church has had innumerable internal arguments about what to believe. Our particular little corner of Christendom is the result of one of those moments, is it not? Almost every different denomination is separate from each other because of not believing the same fact set. Not on believing that we should all simply try to walk with Jesus. Oh, those arguments. Arguments on baptism. Who's really baptized and who's not really baptized. Arguments on how to read your Bible, that it is literally, factually, historically true, or that it speaks a spiritual truth which is beyond the fact. And finally, who is in and who is out? Isn't that the basis of most of the arguments of the church? Who is in and who is out? And of course, we got it right. That wasn't a laugh line in my sermon. Of course we got it right. Why are our beliefs the correct beliefs about all that I just talked about? Why are they the correct ones? You know. Because we believe them. Right? Would you believe them if you felt them to be the incorrect beliefs? Of course not. And so every church in every corner of the world that attempts to separate itself out from every other manifestation of the body of Christ, and that's simply what a church is it not? It's a physical manifestation of the spiritual body of Christ. All of us believe we got it right. And we are right. But everyone else who believes they got it right are right for themselves. Again, I'll ask you, is it more important to believe the correct facts about Jesus, or is it more important to attempt to walk with Jesus on the path that He has set before us? It's got to be. It simply has to be more important, does it not? And what is that path? Well, the answer to that question is the answer to the sermon title, the real meaning of Maundy Thursday. Right at the end of his earthly ministry, after he had chased out the money changers, remember, he built a whip out of cords and whipped them out of the temple. After that, he had chased out the money changers from the temple. After he had washed his disciples' smelly feet. After he had broken the bread of the Passover with his closest friends, even with Judas, after he sent Judas out to do what he was going to do. After all this, what did he do? It's kind of towards the end of that whole passage in John. It says, a new commandment I give you. That's where Maundy comes from. Most of the words we count as holy words either had their base in the Hebrew language or what other language? The Latin language, right? Maundy means mandate in Latin. So it's a new mandate, a new commandment I give you. And what was that new commandment? Love each other as I have loved you. And that word love, agape, is an action word. It's an action word. They will know that you are mine, he told them, if you do this. To show Christ's love in the world is the new commandment. It is the reason for the church. It is why we are here. Listen to these words from one of the finest young theologians of this age or of any other age who was taken from us. I highly recommend to you anything that Rachel Held Evans wrote. But the gospel doesn't need a coalition devoted to keeping the wrong people out. It needs a family of sinners saved by grace, committed to tearing down the walls, throwing open the doors and shouting, "Welcome, there's bread and wine. Come, eat with us and talk." This isn't a kingdom for the worthy. It's a kingdom for the hungry. Amen. Let's stand and sing a song of invitation. As we stand and sing together, sweet, sweet Spirit. And grace, mercy, and love be yours from God, from Jesus the Christ, from the Spirit that beckons us forward, both now and forever. Amen.
church.